Thank you, Katie. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And for those of you who've looked at your program, I am the last speaker. Kevin's already given his talk. And this is my 35th Beltwide Cotton Conference. So looking at the folks in here, not many of you have been here longer than I have. So the way I look at this, they saved the best for last. So I really appreciate the opportunity. And I'm actually going to continue some of the discussion that Morteza just started, looking at some of the nitrogen work that we've been doing in the Mississippi Delta, both under irrigated and under rain-fed conditions. Morteza already showed this slide about what ESN is, environmentally smart nitrogen. It's an agrium product. It is a polymer-coated urea product. That is a new technology for our part of the world. There's been a lot of polymer-coated materials around over the years. Most of them are really, really expensive and used in containerized plants and things like that in an industry that's very high value. I'm also going to be talking a little bit about a product called Agritain. I don't think that we've even seen it mentioned much at this Beltwide, but it's a urea volatilization inhibitor. It's under... it's an NBPT product. There's several of them on the market. The one I used was Agritain, which is now a product from Koch. And I will put that same disclaimer that Morteza put up there. Mention of a product name does not mean I support that product. It's just the way we refer to it. The other thing that I'll have a little bit of data in here on is a product called Nutrisphere. It was from SFP. Now it's a division... our product from Verdesian. I had a few years data with that also that will be in here. And the objective of the study was to to look at the different nitrogen sources, amendments for cotton, excuse me, under both irrigated and non-irrigated conditions. The irrigated area will be on the Delta Research and Extension Center at Stonewall. The non-irrigated or rain fed is at Tribbett at our satellite farm. The big difference between the two things, the irrigated areas are rotated. The non-irrigated areas are continuous cotton. The only continuous cotton field that I know of left at Stonewall. But we're going to talk a little bit about some of these products. The Tribbett location, I'm breaking these down into two specific time frames. This one is 2010 to 2013. This is the first 4 years. I have this at both locations. This is actually the same field, if you were hitting here for my other talk on the phosphorus, this is actually in the same field. So it's the same soil types. The end sources, well, the end rates in this case were 90, 120, and 150. We actually added a 60-pound end rate in 2014 and dropped the high end rate because we were not seeing responses to higher nitrogen rates, which we thought we would in this situation. If it's irrigated, a lot of times we will, but under the dryland situations, 120 turned out to be the best. But in this case, the end sources were UAN solution, which is the most common nitrogen source for us on cotton. UAN solution plus the Nutrisphere. We also used a broadcast urea application and incorporated it with a cultivator at the time of planting. Urea plus Nutrisphere, and then urea plus Agritain, and urea and ESN. The ESN was applied 100% pre-plant. The Delta Research and Extension Center, this was 2011-2013. It is rotated, so it's on different soil types depending on which field we're in at the time. So it's a randomized complete block with 4 replications. Where Tribbett was 5 replications. These rows are 90 feet long. The others are 100. But it's the same set of treatments. To get now into some of the results, I've actually summarized this. Because there was no nitrogen response and the interaction of source and nitrogen rate were the interaction was not significant, I've broken this down now strictly by the solutions, by the sources in this case. And if you look that in 10, 11, and 12, there was no significant difference between any of the sources. Now, this is dry land, So you'll see that the 2011 yields are quite a bit lower than the other years. But we, you know, 1,300 to 1,400 pounds of lint cotton in a dry land situation is pretty good for us. Most of the time, our state average is going to be less than 1,000 pounds, although this year we were up around 1,250 pounds of lint this year. But if we look at 2013, there was a little bit of decrease in yields where the Nutrisphere was used. There's really no explanation as to why that happened. It shouldn't have happened. There's no, you know, the product should not affect the yields in any way or affect the uptake of the nitrogen. So, but I present the data. This is the Delta Branch station in Stoneville. This is 11, 12, and 13, again, plus the averages. Notice again in 2011 and 12, under irrigated conditions, the yields are much better under irrigated, basically twice what they were at Trivet, but these are irrigated yields. But in 2011, there was no difference in any of the sourcing. ESN, which is a lot of time people have seen a little bit lower yields with ESN. Morteza found a positive response. Here it's just as good. It's a single application, one time. 2012, there was no significant difference. 2013, ESN was a little lower yields, and you look at the kind of yields we had that year. Even with ESN, we were almost 1,500 pounds, which is three bale cotton. So, but it was a little bit lower in 2013. You know, we decided to take kind of a new look at things in 2014 because we were not seeing a response to nitrogen. And we got really a lot more interest in ESN at that time. We dropped the Nutrisphere from the system and came in with some ideas about what to do. So we reduced the end rates down from, we dropped the 150, brought in the 60-pound end rate. We were trying to end up with a deficient situation. So 60 pounds of nitrogen is not supposed to be enough, yet we saw no response to nitrogen in this situation. We eliminated the ESN and we expanded. One of the things with ESN, and Morteza didn't really get into it on one of his slides, where you saw a little bit of less yield with ESN applied as a side dress application. That 100 pounds of side dress was lower yielding. Well, this is a time-release product. So we feel like in Mississippi that applying it at side dress is too late. It's not going to give us time for that, even with the warm temperatures, and it is temperature-related, but for it to take up the nitrogen and then be able to release that nitrogen through that permeable coat. So it's got to dissolve inside the polymer and then be released. So we started looking at possibilities of using ESN plus other products like UAN and urea. So that's the shift we took to into 2014. And then we also started to work with looking at ESN, the ratios of ESN. I'm not going to talk about that today, but going back to Trivet, this we're back in that same field. And so you see treatments 3 and 4. We've actually gone in with a kind of a starter of UAN and urea up front. Now, we still applied the ESN at that time. So we're putting a source in there. It's readily available early, even though the plants don't use much early. But we still wanted that in there to get that early boost if we needed it. Again, this is dry land here. So you see that 30 pounds, and then we picked up the rate differences then as ESN. So if we had a rate of 120 pounds of nitrogen, we put out 30 pounds as either UAN or urea, then came back with a difference as ESN. This is some of the data. This is 2014 from Trivet. This is main effects. Notice that now that we got down low enough that we do see a response to nitrogen here. So if you look at the sources here, the UAN, and keep in mind what you're seeing here now. That in this case, the highest yields were with urea plus agritain in 2014. Now, they're not significantly different, but numerically, the highest yield was with agritain. Now, what does that indicate to you? Think about that. Okay, it's a volatilization inhibitor. So if we've got a volatilization problem, you know, if the conditions are there, then we've got the possibility in this case then of being able to actually decrease the volatilization, make more nitrogen available as urea. So in this case, we've got the highest yields here numerically with the Agritain applied. Now, we don't always get that. Okay, 2015, the yields are quite a bit lower. You were looking at 1,500-pound yields. 2015, the yields were much lower. There was no significant differences in the sources here and no significant difference. There's a trend in there, but statistically there's no difference in the rates because I think in the long run, because we were at lower yields, the demand isn't there. We don't have that higher need because we don't have the right kind of conditions to take advantage of that. 2016, this past year, we had really, really good yields again. We're up in that 1,300, 1,400-pound lint yields. There's no significant difference. There's a couple of them maybe a little bit lower, but statistically they're not different. Now, one of the things that we do see is quite a bit of variability when we're in dryland situations. You notice I showed you earlier we're using three different soil types in that field. We replicate to take advantage of that, and we kind of put the reps across the soil types. So we take some of that variation out. But again, you saw no response to nitrogen. We've gotten, in this case, over 1,300 pounds of lint and 60 pounds of nitrogen. And this is not rotated. This is continuous cotton. So that's a really good yield with 60 pounds of nitrogen. Now, where is all the nitrogen coming from? Ortiz has showed you, we don't have a whole lot of organic matter. It's magic. It's coming from somewhere. Going on to the Delta Station, very similar situation. We're doing the exact same thing. We dropped the N rates again down to 60 pounds, dropped the 150, because we don't feel like we need it. And so we just dropped it down the same set of treatments here. This is 2014. We're looking at, again, at 1,500-pound lint cotton in this case, but no difference. Again, this one, if you look at that bottom slide down, you got 1,444 pounds of lint with 60 pounds of nitrogen. Now, this field is rotated with corn. And one of the things that we're seeing that with corn and rotation, we get about a 20, well, anywhere on this particular soil type here, we get about a 15 to 20% increase in yields just with crop rotation alone. So these kind of yields we like to see, but you're still talking about three-bale cotton at this point in the season. No response to nitrogen. If we look at 2015, the yields are much lower. We changed soil types here. But now you see the two top systems here, the two highest yielding systems, are both of them where we had ESN. So what does that give you, what does it kind of point you towards? Well, if we've got situations where we're losing some of that nitrogen up front, something that's a control release puts us in a situation where we can actually take advantage of that slower release type product. And I think that's one of the things that happened here. You did see that we had significant lower yields at the 60 and 90 pound. It took us 120 pounds here to actually get the highest yields when we averaged across all of those in 15. We go back to 16. 16 was kind of a unique year. We were really, really wet early. Then we were really, really dry at the end. And I think part of the situation here, you see that in this case, in 2016, ESN was lower than any of the other systems in there, whereas UAN was on top. The nitrogen response situation, again, we optimized yields with 90 pounds of N per acre. We didn't get a significant increase when we went to 120, so we surely didn't need 150. To summarize, you know, early on we saw no differences in the sources, which is a good thing. When we start looking about where the money savings can come from, if you're making a single application out there with something like ESN or with urea plus Agritain up front and can do that as a single application, you save application trips across the field. You know, when we start looking at carbon situations and stuff, one trip is a carbon savings. I mean, you look at the way with fuel and stuff. You know, we didn't see an early response to nitrogen. We don't see a lot of response to nitrogen sometimes, but we've got really good yields. So if you start looking at nitrates in the soil, very low. We get a lot of rainfall in the wintertime, so we get a lot of denitrification. There's not much difference coming on later in the system. You know, in 2014, it was really wet up front, so I think that's one of the situations where the Agritain came out on top. One of the things that we deal with is not knowing We go down to that very last thing. You know, managing nitrogen would be much easier if Mother Nature would just cooperate. But, you know, we don't know what the season's got to bring. You know, if we were predictable, we could be consistent, but we're not predictable, so we're not very consistent. So, you know, it's sometimes it just happens to be magic. Right, Morteza? With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. There's nobody after me. I promise I won't answer questions more than 15 or 20 minutes. So, Kevin? That's correct. The question Kevin asked about zero check plots. I'm an applied scientist, and I would never get a farmer to put out a zero. So I don't normally use zeros. I've been asked about that over the years. In my stuff, I really don't use zeros, so because that's not something a farmer would do. I mean, that's true. And I've thrown one in occasionally, or a couple of them every once in a while, just to actually measure response, you know, so I can deduct what the soil is supplying there. So I have used them on occasion, but in this situation, I'm not. I think it's actually Agritain Plus. I don't know. My technician mixes it, so... Yeah, I think the bottle we have is actually Agritain Plus.
Is it blue? Is it stuff blue or white?
The jug?
Do you use
a
solid?
Oh, no. We're using a liquid. Any other questions? The question is whether we're looking at economics of some of the additive products in here, and the answer is no. The comment was also made about whether, you know, it looks like they help out in good year. I mean, bad years, not necessarily needed in good years. I totally agree. Tell me which year I'm going to get, and I'll know what to use.
If it is showing, it's an insurance policy.
Right. And that's what we do. About question about insurance policy with Agritain and urea, we normally will recommend to our producers to use it. It's too cheap not to, because in our area you can have a 20% chance of rain and get 3 inches, and 100% chance of rain and get nothing. So, you know, we rely on a dry land situation. We're relying on rainfall for incorporation of anything after side, you know, anything that's side drift. Under irrigated conditions, we can actually make an application. If it doesn't rain, turn the water on. And that's how you incorporate. I mean, that's the way we incorporate. On a lot of our crops, we use water for incorporation. Nitrogen in irrigation water? Katie asked about if we looked at nitrogen in the irrigation water. No, I don't. Not that I recall. The nitrogen in our water is relatively low because we're using surface water and well water both. Our water tends to lime if we're using well water. It's got enough in there that we get a liming effect. On corn, we put enough nitrogen out to offset, acid-forming nitrogen, to actually offset that liming effect. We do see a buildup in pH in our rice fields and stuff like that on heavy clay soils. But, you know, both of our water sources, unless you're pumping somebody else's nitrogen that they let go off the field, the levels are fairly low.
Any other questions?
No. Okay, on cotton, we're using straight UAN 32%. Mike asked about whether we're using any sulfur. We do use sulfur in some of our corn on farm, but no, most everything we do. Now I'm starting to do some sulfur work, also some zinc work, because if you've seen some of the talks earlier about the decrease in sulfur availability, the other thing that wasn't mentioned at that time is something like triple 13. You used to get 12% sulfur in triple 13 just as a byproduct. Nobody even talked anything about it. Nothing anymore really has any sulfur in it. So, and part of the problem with sulfur is with time, you may see very little difference in the beginning, but you go 20 years down the road and you see a huge difference between where you were, but those little incremental differences. And so I think we're going to see more and more and more sulfur deficiencies coming up, just because there's none going out there. And unfortunately for us in Mississippi, we don't use a sulfur test per se. It's based on organic matter, our sulfur recommendations. So without a sulfate sulfur test, which I request on my samples, if you're putting out sulfur, it's not going to change the organic matter. So it's a little bit difficult to get at what your real sulfur needs are. But I saw a slide earlier today where they actually putting on nitrogen made the sulfur deficiency worse. That happens a lot, especially in rice. If you're sulfur deficient, you add more nitrogen, it makes it worse. So, yeah. No, we're not using any. I still got 10 minutes.